Rahab's faith. The faith of Rahab. Thank you for reading Joshua chapter 2. You see, Rahab was a lost pagan woman who lived in the city of Jericho. Yet she became an honored woman in the Bible. She's mentioned in Hebrews, in James, and she stands as an example of faith. We're talking about Rahab's faith. She's even not got a Jewish name. She's exemplified as one who has, in James, as one of works. Put the two together, we see Rahab, the picture of what it is, a belief that performs. The Bible doesn't have much to say about the life of this woman. It seems that the only account of her is in Joshua chapter 2 that we have read. She was introduced as a harlot, not someone you would expect to be praised in Scripture. She was the worst. There's a story of a man who once bought a beautiful vase in a shop window, and he brought the vase home and placed it in his room. His room was terrible. It was very untidy. And this beautiful vase was in his room. So he began to clean his room to be worthy of the vase. He cleaned his curtains. The old chair of stuffing came out and he put in a new seat. The wallpaper needed redoing. Gradually the room was transformed. You see, when you put Christ in the mental peace of your heart, your whole life is transformed. So let's look at this life of Rahab as in Joshua 2, which was so kindly read to us. You see, as the Israelites was about to enter Canaan and claim their promised land, the first city they would have to be faced is the walled city of Jericho. If they could take this city, they would easily split the country into two, and then move from there to conquer the north and the south. Now, in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, keep the chapter open for you. Rahab was introduced as a member of a disgusting, degenerate race of people. She was a member of the Canaanites. Their religion was foul and vile. Her name even wasn't something you would be proud of. However, her days were numbered. The Hebrews were on their way home and God's divine judgment was on the way. Verse 15 tells us, Rahab lived upon the town wall. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. What does it mean? You see, most people would have thought that Rahab occupied a strong position on the wall. In Joshua's days, Jericho was surrounded by two walls, both 30 feet high. The outer wall was 6 feet thick, and the inner wall was 12 feet. And between the two walls, there was a space. This space was covered over and houses were built to bridge this gap. And Rahab's house was placed on high within the massive walls of Jericho. But it was a false sense of security. If those walls fall, then judgment comes. There were many people living there and they think that they were secure despite their sinful life. They were living on walls made by men. Next, from Rahab, we read in from 8, chapter 2, verse 8 to 11, she was delivered. How was she delivered? God sent two spies into Jericho. Why did God send two spies? One is perhaps a conscience, the other one is for memory. Conscience is there to rebuke us for our wrongdoings. Memory is there to remind us of our wrongdoings. Between two of them, we stand fully exposed before the eyes of God. So Rahab confesses her fear to the two spies when she receives them into her house. She realizes it is God she will have to deal with and answer to. What are the five things that happened? She could not save herself. There was no hiding place for her. She knew that her position on the wall was only as good as the wall. And the wall is as strong as it seemed, but would not stand the test of coming judgment. Those in power thought they were very secure. The king of Jericho, who was a picture of Satan, wanted to hold on to his own to the very end. Because Satan opposes salvation. There was persecution. He ridicules the thought of salvation. But salvation had to come from the outside. Salvation came to Rahab from people she thought she had been taught was the enemy. How did she know? She confessed to a knowledge of so great salvation. God had already provided for his people. In 10:11, she says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither there remained any more courage in any man because of you." And the words, look, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and in earth, in heaven above and in earth beneath." Rahab had a revelation. She knew that God had brought them. He had brought them out of Sinai. For Rahab had heard, and she believed. She knew what was salvation. And this is why in Hebrews chapter 11:13 it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe, when she had received the spies with peace." You see, God's salvation is available to everyone, but only to those who believe. The plan of salvation as taught to Rahab by the two spies was simple. "Behold, when we came into this land, there thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let down, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." You see, the scarlet line was to Rahab and the family what the blood on the doorpost had been to the Hebrews when they fled in Egypt. This is the scarlet line. You read, "Behold, when we come into this land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet through the window." Why scarlet? For the way to salvation is always the same. The shed blood of the Lamb of God. The scarlet line runs through all the way through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. We get the hint of it in Eden, when God clothed Adam and Eve with animal skin and provided them from his wrath. The scarlet line can be seen in the most acceptable offering that Abel offered to God. Cain thought he could come to God in the merit of his good works, but Abel knew that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Everywhere in the Levitical law, the emphasis on the shedding of blood. We see the scarlet thread in the major offerings in the feast days, in the Day of Atonement, in the dedication of the temple. Throughout the Old Testament era, the rivers of blood flowed from the altars of Israel. That was the scarlet line. See, as we stand at Calvary and understand the significance of it all, we see Jesus taking the cup and said, "This is a new covenant in my blood." In 1 Peter 1:18-19, it's very important to read this word. 1 Peter 1:18-19. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, the scarlet line runs from cover to cover. In Old Testament, the saints were saved, looking forward in their sacrifices and offerings. But we are saved by faith as we look to Calvary. It seems that if there's no scarlet line on the doorpost in the Old Testament, there was no salvation. If there's no scarlet line in the window of Rahab's home, there's no salvation. His family will be lost. No scarlet line bound by faith to our hearts. No salvation. And this is what is meant in Joshua 2:21. "And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away and departed." And she bound. She bound the scarlet line in the window. I tell you, it's so important. In God's story, you need to read again and again from the Old Testament. For the Old Testament is a revelation of the Son of God. And the New Testament is his fulfillment. And next we come to Rahab, the dedicated servant. It did not matter about her past. God could use her. In Ephesians 6:6, "Not with eye service as man pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Ephesians 6:6, "Not with eye service as man pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." God is not impressed with outward display, only with your heart. A heart and right motive is what God pleases. You see, Rahab's heart had changed. As a result, her burden for family. No sooner had she been saved, she set about working for the Lord. She was determined to tell her family about the true God. In Hebrews 11:31, she told everyone else, "She did not perish with those that believed not. She told her whole family. I wonder what her family would say. Some would say, oh, don't be tough, Abraham. How can there be danger? You live on the wall. You are very safe. Oh, you're crazy, Rahab. This silly piece of string, what is going to save you? Or someone may say, I'll wait it out and make my decision when the Hebrews have breached the wall and stormed the gates. There's plenty of time. So there were all sorts of excuses, perhaps. And in Joshua 6:23 that we read, and the young men, as the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell him. And what happened to them? In Joshua 6:23, let's read Joshua 6:23. What happens to the family of Rahab? And the young man that was spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. That is Rahab, the dedicated servant. Rahab's witness to them, and they believed, and they saw they were in the same state as her. She was no longer a harlot, for she had heeded for God's judgment. They believed, and they were saved. And she brought her whole family into the family of God. What a wonderful story in Joshua. You could read that over and over again. So much intrigue, so much drama. And not only was Rahab the harlot changed into the dedicated servant of God, her whole family likewise. And now let's come to Rahab, the divine seed. Let's go on to Matthew 1:4-5. Now this is very interesting. Let me read to you Matthew 1:4-5. And Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Solomon, and Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Isn't it interesting, Jesse? You know, the Jesse, the seed of Jesus Christ and David. You see, Rahab was taken from this house of shame and wound up in the hall of fame in God's home, God's family. While the identity of the two spies is not specifically given, we can speculate that one of them was Salmon of the tribe of Judah. His father, Nahshon, was the leader of the tribe during the early wanderings. If you will bear with me, go on to Numbers 1:7. I've given you there. Numbers 1:7. Of Judah, Nahshon, the son of Aminadab. And then you go with me to Numbers 2:3. And on the east side, towards the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah preach throughout their armies. And Nahshon, look, the name Nahshon comes up. Nashon the son of Aminadab shall be captain of the children of Judah. You see, since Nashon is the son of Aminadab, see, Judah was the leading tribe. And let's look at Numbers again, 10:14. See, there's a sequence to all this. Numbers chapter 10, verse 14. In the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah, according to their armies, and over his host was Nashon, the son of Aminadab. See, when Nashon died in the wilderness, remember I mentioned the word Solomon? His son took over his place. And so Solomon is of the princely line of Judah, the royal tribe of Israel, and became the husband of Rahab, that we read in Matthew 1:5. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab. You see, Rahab became the mother of Boaz, which is why Boaz was not concerned about marrying his inheritance. Remember Ruth 4:6. So the nearest kinsman in the book of Ruth refuses to renew Ruth because she was a Moabite. Remember, Boaz did not want to marry her because she was a Moabite. He did not want to contaminate his family tree by introducing Moabite blood into his blood. Boaz had no problem with his bloodline being contaminated, as his mother was a Jericho harlot. Interesting, isn't it? Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Boaz came from, his mother was Rahab. And Solomon, the father of Boaz, in 1:5 again, Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. And Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. You see the connection there? From Joshua to Numbers and to Matthew. At first glance, this may look like a simple list of names that appears to include Rahab. But if you look at the rest of Matthew 1, you see what is actually a list of all Jesus' ancestors. For Jesus was the direct descendant of Rahab. We need to understand that Matthew's intention here is to demonstrate the royal lineage of Jesus. And so we see in this a list of number of very prominent people in Israel's history. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, Solomon, and a bunch of others. But stuck right in the middle is this harlot from Jericho. She wasn't an Israelite by birth, yet she's there in the list of kings and patriarchs. Wealthy, important people who were Jesus' ancestors. And you know, for women to be included in those days in a list such as this was unheard of. It was such a counterculture early Christianity to include the women, names of women. So we see that Matthew is honoring Rahab. In fact, he not only honor Rahab. He honored four other women for the important role in the lineage of the faith of women. The amazing thing is that Rahab's faith made no difference to God whatsoever. Because of her faith, her past made no difference to God whatsoever. But her faith, in her faith, God was could blot out her past. In Psalm 103, verse 12, Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. See, God removed transgressions. God blot out her past because of her faith. This woman, Rahab, became the ancestors of our Lord Jesus Christ. God took her out from the gutter and made her eternally faithful. He gave this trusting sinner a place in his eternal divine plan. So it is in Hebrews 11:31, Rahab is honored. Let us read Hebrews 11:31, which was read to us. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believeth not, when she had received the spies with peace. She was not obedient, disobedient. These stories are told to us as an inspiration for us to become people of faith. Nothing else but to tell us what it means to be people of faith. The worst people, when they have faith, is so important. It points out to the characteristic of Rahab, for which she was held in high honor, her faith in God. For what is especially astounding about this, remembering to the old original story, we're told that Rahab was not even a part of God's chosen nation of Israel. She was a resident of Jericho, the Canaanite, the worst people. She should have looked at those spies as her enemy. She could have turned them over to the authorities. But hear what she said. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea, for when he came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard of these things, our heart did melt. Neither did remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth below. We hear Rahab's profession of faith. The Lord your God is God in heaven above and in earth below. She turns from the beliefs of her culture and embraces God as the true Lord and God. This is the honesty in Rahab. She had heard what God had done and she responds in faith. At this point, she hadn't experienced any of that herself. She didn't have any first-hand knowledge of God of Israel, of his power and might and holiness. She only had heard about reports. Yet, she recognized the truth and embraced it because she believed and experienced God's deliverance. This is real honesty. It is responding to the truth. Rahab tells us everyone heard about the reports and they were terrified. But Rahab believed, and she believed in God. The others were terrified. You see, this is a challenge to us. Where do you need to take a leap? We often want God to act first, and then we will trust him. Okay, God, you can work out the details and all the situation, and then I will trust you. You see, it is faith. Faith is saying, God, I don't know what is going to happen next, but I leave it to you because I know who you are. Because you are the God in heaven above and in earth below. Sometimes we know that he is because of our experience. Sometimes it's just by report of others, as this was the case for Rahab. But she believed, and God delivered. That is the step for us. Believe in him and trust. Then watch with joy and excitement to see what God does with your faith in you. That faith will grow within you. This is what James says in James 2:25. James 2:25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messages and then sent them out another way? I like this balance. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, praises her faith, but James praises her actions. James says, faith which is not kind of accompanied by action is dead. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And James gives two examples, Abraham first, and then Rahab. He points out that she was considered righteous because of her actions. You see, Rahab believed. She had the words right. She understood who God is. She acted in accordance with her belief. She hid the spies, gave them inside information, and sent them off to the enemy of her people to come back and have a mighty military action. She acted on her belief. And this is a lesson for all of us. For our lives must match our words. There's a story about four preachers. And they were discussing the merits of the translation of the Bible. One liked King James best because it was simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Revised Version because it was close to the original Hebrew and Greek. And another liked the contemporary version. Hope we have read it because it's up-to-date vocabulary. And the fourth minister was silent and he said, I like my mother's translation best. And surprised, the other three looked at her and didn't know who his mother was. And didn't know that his mother had translated the Bible. He said, yes. She translated the Bible into her life. And it was the most convincing translation I ever saw. To transform the Word of God in our lives. You see, this is what James had highlighted. This woman, a prostitute, God chose to use in enabling his people to come into the promised land. This is the woman whom God held up for us, a woman to be honored in the lineage of Jesus. This is the woman the writer of Hebrews praises as an example of faith, and James used as an example of a living faith demonstrated by action. We knew that in Jewish history they held her in high regard, for she embraced the God of Israel and became an important and respected member of the nation of Israel. For in Rahab we have a wonderful example of a woman of faith. Also a hope in whom God can change things. Who can forgive and heal wounds from the past? Who can turn around and create something beautiful for the present? And that is the God we proclaim. A God of forgiveness. A God who recreates. A God who is faithful, and with many of us come to know him first and foremost through the living faith. You see, the story of Rahab is important because it has real parallels for us today. Let's look at the past, the present, and the future of Rahab. Rahab's past was driven by sin. She was a harlot. And they came and lodged in her house. There was nothing soft about it. Her life had been driven by sin. But even then she was living in sin. God was working in her heart. And when she spoke to the two spies that came to Jericho, she told them what she and the other residents were experiencing. They were terrified. "But I know the Lord has given to you this land." Her testimony was what God was going to do in the life of a sinner. What was true for Rahab today is also true for us. There's only one place to find hope for a life that is driven by sin. And we are not people without sin. And that only hope is in Jesus Christ, who died once and for all on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. When we come to him in faith, confessing our sins and asking forgiveness. For Rahab's concerning the Lord made it clear she was looking to him for her deliverance. Next, Rahab's present was decided by faith. For the Lord your God, he is God, heaven above and earth below. What a statement of faith. It was direct contradiction to everything else because she was a Canaanite. She was raised to believe that there are many gods. But her assertion was, he is the true God, and all other gods were false. Rahab's faith was revealing not only in her words. She led the spies into her house and she hid them as a testimony of faith in God. Faith is more than belief or words. It is action that reflects the truth of our lives, our beliefs. You see, James was trying to show that faith and works go hand in hand. The good thinking and believing must be matched with doing and living. Rahab did more than believe about God. She put these beliefs before she understood them into practice. For Rahab is a testimony of the faith that if you come to God in faith in the present, he will take care of your past and give you an opportunity for the future. You see, Rahab's future was directed by God. We read in Joshua 6:25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. When Rahab asked for protection, the spies promised they would do even that. Not only her, her family as well. Her future was assured, much more than she could ever imagine, because Rahab's future was linked to Jesus Christ, for she married a man called Salmon, and they had a son named Boaz, and Boaz married another outcast, a Moabite woman named Ruth. And Boaz and Ruth had a son called Obed, who had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David. God had a plan for Rahab. Her step of faith was to bring her into the very lineage of his son, Jesus Christ, the son of David. God used the faith of a Canaanite woman to help prepare the way for the sending of his son on earth to save all humanity. We may not know what God has planned for us, but if we are faithful to him, our future can be directed by him. If we could use someone like Rahab, if he could use something like Rahab, what more can he believe and use us? If we have a past, join the club. But remember, Christ came and died so that we don't have to live in the past anymore. His death and resurrection gave us the hope of forgiveness and eternal life. What is your present? Are you living by faith day by day? Is your life decided by faith? Jesus didn't simply die so that we could put our faith in him. He died and rose so that we could live a life each day. He sent us the comforter and the counselor. There's a future for all of us. The most important part of the future is to know that we have a place in heaven, because we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. God is directing our lives, that you and I matter. He has a plan for us, and he wants us to surrender our lives to him. We may not see all that he has for our future, but what he does, we must put our faith in him.